Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Sit, boo boo, sit, boo boo, sit.
Good dog.
That's some bad hat hair.
It's a cool show.
Get any of that?
Not a doctor.
Bye, have a beautiful day.
From your love.
Clarp. No, we're about to clarp. No, we're about to
Hello and thank you for checking out this special spoiler-free mini edition of Hunting Seasons, the podcast that dares to binge watch, deep dive and break down a season of television each and every episode. I'm Broderick Gordis.
I'm Damas Leary, and that's my dog Pearl in the background.
And today we'll be discussing It's a Sin. And to help us do that, we are joined once again by host of the Swapcast podcast and sometimes third chair of this podcast, Mr. Paul Mitzi. How you doing, Paul?
Good, thanks. Still emotionally recovering from finishing the show last night, but otherwise, all good.
From finishing the show, is this the first time through? This must be your second time through.
No, the first time. So I started watching it a while back.
Yeah.
Like when it first started airing, and I didn't want it to end like straight away.
Sure.
So I made sure I didn't binge it and like watched like one episode like every week.
Mm. Wow. Now.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
That's an emotionally responsible way to do it, I think.
And I also was dreading because I knew that the last episode was going to be a rough ride for me, and I was avoiding it for as long as possible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get moving and get to our spoiler-free review of It's a Sin.
Let me clue you in.
Season in review.
It's a Sin is a British television five-part drama miniseries written and created by Russell T. Davies, creator of Queer as Folk and showrunner of Doctor Who for its 21st century revival and through the Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant eras, which centres around a group of gay men and their friends living in London through the United Kingdom's HIV/AIDS crisis of the 1980s. The show premiered in the United Kingdom on Channel 4 on the 22nd of January 2021 and stars Ollie Alexander, Amari Douglas, Callum Scott-Howes, Lydia West, Nathaniel Curtis, David Carlisle, Neil Patrick Harris and Stephen Fry. It's a Sin consists of 5 episodes, each coming in at around 47 minutes and took us approximately 3 hours and 55 minutes to watch. The show is available to stream in Australia on Stan and will be streamed on HBO Max in the United States beginning February 18th, 2021. So, before we get to our review, guys, just wanted to ask you both, how familiar are you with the work of Russell T. Davies, and in particular, his previous show related to the world of gay men and gay women, I assume, because I've never actually seen it myself, Queer as Folk? Paul?
So, I've definitely watched the UK Queer as Folk the whole way through, which I enjoyed. But that is a film that is a show I feel that like completely shit the bed in the ending. Like the last episode's awful.
Oh.
But in terms of like its place in like queer canon and queer culture, like it can't be refuted how influential that show was and how it gave like a voice and representation at a time where there really wasn't much at all. That was the introduction of queer culture to so many people. So it's such an important show. And I really enjoyed the American remake of it as well. That premiered a few years after that one did. I didn't watch any Doctor Who. And I think I've caught an episode of Banana and Cucumber, his other show, but that's one I've been meaning to actually watch. And after this, it's definitely encouraged me to go seek that one out.
Sure. Damask?
I didn't even know that Queer as Folk started off as a UK thing until this very moment.
Wow.
No idea. I watched the, I think it was Canadian. It felt very Canadian. The remake, as a young girl being like, oh, scandalous. And yes, there were lesbians in that one, but they, of course, were just boring and married with children. It was very dull. I obviously watched Doctor Who, and David Tennant's run is my favourite, so a fan of his work through that. I think that's it. I don't know. I think that's as far as my knowledge of his work goes.
Yeah, I didn't watch Queer as Folk, but I remember it being on SBS in Australia. Very aware of it at the time, but I don't think... Yeah, not something I watched. As much as I was watching Evangelion South Park, apparently I wasn't watching Queer as Folk. I was watching Doctor Who, though. I got into Doctor Who during the Russell T Davies era. David Tennant was my favourite Doctor. He got booted for Matt Smith. That's another story. So very appreciative of what he did to bring Doctor Who back to the screen. Also, he did Torchwood, or a lot of the Torchwood series, which I've seen smatterings of, a season here or two thereof. And beyond that, not much. I've been meaning to check out Years and Years, which I think was probably the TV show just previous to It's a Sin, actually, which starred Emma Thompson and looked really interesting. It was like a progression into tyranny sort of story about how the UK could turn into like an oppressive government sort of thing, literally over years and years through these election cycles. I remember seeing the trailer and think it was really interesting, and I think it reviewed okay.
I think it was really depressing is what I heard. So I guess he's really falling into that at the moment. Mm. Just really depressing stuff for people.
The most I heard about it was Ollie Alexander, who's the star of this show. He's the lead singer of the band Years and Years.
Oh.
And when the show Years and Years was on, everyone who would tweet to... that what they were thinking they were tweeting to the show's page were tweeting to him, and he'd always do these like really sarcastic responses when they were like criticizing the show. And I kind of wonder, maybe that's how he ended up getting in contact with Russell T Davies. Imagine. And ended up as the lead in the show.
So.
You owe me, Russell. Put me in your show. All right. So who would like to give their spoiler-free review first? Guests get to go first. You threw us under the bus last week, Paul. After you.
Okay. It's a Sin is a phenomenal show. What this show achieves in 5 45-minute episodes really highlights how bloated and drawn out most modern TV is. There is not a wasted minute in this series, spanning many years and several central characters, covering themes both deeply personal and broadly political, yet never feeling rushed and never sacrificing the audience's connections with the lead characters. And what a group of characters they are. The Pink Palace crew, Richie, Jill, Roscoe, Ash and Colin, are characters I will hold dear to my heart from now on. They are all performed beautifully and written with such heart, you just want to reach inside the TV and hug them all. The show is centered around the AIDS crisis of the 1980s, and on top of just being a brilliantly made show, it also serves as a stark reminder of what the gay community has overcome. To think that the show is set entirely within my lifetime and shows how men, just like me, were not only getting sick and dying in unprecedented numbers, but how society just let it happen and rejoiced as it was happening. To think if I was born 20 years earlier, I could have been the one dying, scared and alone in a locked hospital room. Many of the policymakers, journalists, and academics of the time who allowed this to happen still have influence and power. It's a Sin is a show that needs to be seen. It's also a show that will save lives. HIV testing rates have gone up in the UK since the show premiered. I adored this show. It affected me on a level I don't think any other show or movie, for that matter, has ever done before. And I think it will be a permanent staple in the gay pop culture canon from now on.
Wow.
Amen.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm.
Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Now, Paul has a history of bringing us shows that we somehow just shit on and dislike. Damask, is he going to continue that trend with us tonight?
No, no. The curse is broken. The curse is broken, I assure you. I was almost tearing up listening to Paul's review. I was bawling my eyes out as I was writing my review. And so I was like, oh, that's good. At least I've got my tears out now because I do cry on this show from time to time. So that it may happen again. So just everyone prepare for that for a few awkward seconds throughout this. All right.
Any regular listeners are ready. It's fine to ask.
That's true. They should always be prepared. You're right. Okay. So I put off writing this review. I cleaned my whole house just so I wouldn't have to. There is a lot to say, but I am unsure as to how to express my feelings about this particular five-part journey. It's emotional and it seems to expand in my chest whenever I think about it. It's a Sin is taxing in many ways. The subject matter of the AIDS crisis in the 80s isn't light by any means. Thankfully, though, this show does spark a balance of the light with the dark. Making a show about a virus that wiped out a generation of young men all over the world is a big task. It could be overwhelming in scope very easily. This show, thankfully, approached the macro by focusing on the micro. We zoom into the story of one friendship group, and while death swirls around them all, each character has a vibrancy that comes from being so full of life. Joy can be found in the love they find in one another. Many scenes are filled with laughter, encouragement, and hope, and the memories of those gloriously youthful experiences have an undeniable presence in the scenes of unparalleled despair. The horror of impending destruction makes this a hard show to binge, so I didn't. One episode a night is all I could stomach. In fact, more than once, I ended an episode in heaving cries. It kept me up at night. I was filled with sadness for days after certain episodes. By starting the show with quite a universal experience, that of discovering adult friendships and freedom beyond familial ties, it makes this a more relatable watch than I was expecting. The bonds created through raucous nights out and innocently irresponsible adventures were such an integral part of leaving behind childhood for me that this was a relatable aspect to a show about an event that I have come nowhere close to experiencing myself. So this show has that framework that a lot of audience members can relate to. What you're seeing on the screen looks so familiar. You watch it and you think, there I am, there my friends are, we've done that, we do that. And then the rug is pulled out from under you. You fall to the ground and chip a tooth. And you think, wait, I thought we were having innocent fun. Why am I left here bleeding? It's shocking to see and it makes for compelling television. As a baby queer, I read and watched lots about the AIDS crisis. And I have felt deep sadness when learning about the horrors of the virus itself. And felt anger at the lack of care provided by those who should have done so much more or, you know, done anything at all. But this experience of watching It's a Sin was something else. It feels personal. The deprivation of a future, one that as a young person you feel guaranteed, to remove that and to see it ripped from people's hands, people that you have developed an attachment to over the season, is pretty unbearable. It feels traumatic, as it should. It's a Sin takes the crisis from conceptual to personal. You know, a lot of my closest and dearest friends are gay men. Some of my favourite memories are, here it comes, are of going out, of having adventures, and of course, staying at home, drinking cheap sparkling, and finding family in one another. And if this happened to them, I couldn't recover. The loss of that family would be so severe. And to imagine losing not only your immediate queer family, but your global one too, is just, it's too much to take. And this was a very upsetting TV experience for me, and I'm sure for many people, but I'm so thankful to have had it. It's an important part of queer history and one that shouldn't be coldly read about in books, but like viscerally felt. This was only 30 years ago. The mourning should continue, as should the celebration of such wild vibrancy that each person gave to the world while they were still here. Now, as a show, it is well constructed, as Paul was saying. Like, they take up every minute to tell you so much. And I think, though, there are a few corners here and there that they cut narratively. But for only having 5 parts, it's incredible how much they manage to fit in. This show will stay with me for quite a while. I recommend it. I really do. But it will be a hard watch. That's my review.
Something I just wanted to jump on there that you were saying about how maybe it felt like there were a few corners that were cut or whatnot.
Mm.
In researching the background of the show, apparently this was originally pitched to the BBC as being an 8-part series. Mm. And eventually Channel 4 picked it up under the proviso that it was condensed down to a 5-part series. So yeah. I kind of, if I'm being extremely hypercritical for a second, and this does not reflect my thoughts on the show overall, there are a couple of characters or moments I feel like, or parts of the show I'm like, I feel like there could have been a bit more there. Mm-hmm. I think just down to literal logistics, it didn't happen, unfortunately.
I agree. Even as I was watching it, I was like, I see the moves being made and why they're made. And it was just happening very quickly, that's all. At very like few points during the show. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me that, yeah, it could have easily been an 8-part series.
Yeah, and this was like a broadcast series, so they really had the constraint of the episode lengths as well. So I was reading a interview with the creator, and he was talking about there's an episode where Ash is making this giant speech about the banning of queer books at schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And he was just praying the whole time that the episode would come to the right length so that he wouldn't have to cut that out, because he knew that they would make him cut that out because it wasn't integral to the plot.
It wasn't essential. As powerful or as like insightful as it was, it wasn't an, as you said, integral part or essential part of the story. Yeah, you could have easily cut that. If forced to, I mean. But they didn't. I'm going to be a little bit honest with you for a second. I finished watching the show at my lunch break at work today.
Mm.
So I haven't had a lot of time to write anything. And I can't compete with just what came before me from you two, so I'm giving you a try. So it's going to be a very brief review.
Were you crying into your sandwich? That would have been a very intense lunch break.
Honestly, actually, the very, very end, I'm not going to talk spoilers here at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily crying at any other moment in the show, as effective as it was. It wasn't one of those moments where you cry. The fucking very end, though, for some reason, one of the last images really got me. I think it was just emblematic of... Yeah, I can't talk about it. Spoilers. But that was like, oh shit, I have to start working another half an hour. I can't do this. Yeah, that got me. I like what you're saying about how personal this show feels. I think that's probably the magic dust that makes this show so special. There's a part of me that looked at this show as it was starting off. It's like, oh, we've just watched Pose recently, which was set during a very similar era and was centered on this same disease, just set in New York. And we've watched another show that was also set during the Margaret Thatcher era and centered on Margaret Thatcher in the UK. It's like, this could be familiar in some ways. But this show is completely unique from those in many, many different ways. But I think what you said about how personal this feels, how much I think Russell T Davies and anybody else involved with the show has put into this that makes it so incredible is spot on. It is just masterfully written and constructed. Very little in this show is wasted. Nearly every part of it has purpose in ways that I didn't expect, but just shows the experience that Russell T Davies has as a TV writer. He is incredible at his craft. The most important thing this show does, and you were talking about this, Paul, is make you care about these characters so quickly. It's only 5 episodes, and immediately I'm attached and connected to these characters. And that comes down to the excellent writing, the fantastic direction, and the performances from these people. It is worth applauding. The show, from other craft points, whether it's like soundtrack or cinematography stuff, isn't necessarily pushing the envelope like some other shows of this modern era of golden television or platinum television might do, but it does everything it needs to so solidly. Mechanically, this is just a solid, solid show. It knows surgically how to get from point A to point B and have the effect it wants on the audience. It is incredible. It is beautiful, but it is brutal, this show, on so many levels, and that's also what is part of the magic. But this isn't just about the misery. It's a look at the whole era from when this started as a rumor to when it became something that resembles closer to what our sort of experience with AIDS is now. And in doing so, what surprised me the most at the end was just exactly what its final message or perspective was. The final episode, for parts of it, I was like, oh, this might be my least favorite episode. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And then the shoe drops, and I was like, no, this was the most important episode and ties everything that came before it together in such an incredible way. You were talking about this being essential viewing, and I 100% agree. The ultimate thesis of this show is something that everybody should watch, queer or otherwise. It is extremely important. If I had to compare it, I've already tried to compare it to Pose or to The Crown. If there's one show that we've watched recently that I do think this has comparisons to, it's I May Destroy You. In terms, it has a similar importance and master of its message and storytelling. And I can't think of a higher praise than to compare it to that show. It is exceptional. Paul, what would you score It's a Sin out of 5 stars?
Can you do higher than 5? I definitely 5. 5 for sure. No question.
Damask?
it was really hard to rate this one.
Yeah.
Because really emotionally affecting and important in terms of what it's doing as a TV show. Amazing for a 5-part series. But I think I'm going to give it like a really strong 4. Really strong.
Okay. I am going to give it 5 stars. And I was
right now,
I was
I'm the homophobe. All right.
I was teetering on a 4.5. Mainly for some of the things that I talked about, possibly being limitations of it being turned from an 8-part series to a 5-part series, or what we suspect is that. But I also thought about, like, I gave Ted Lasso, so this show is a show that is so important that everyone needs to watch it.
Mm.
Ted Lasso is a show that I adore with my whole heart, and I gave it a 4.5. I'm like, oh, can I give this show a higher score than that one, considering how much I can't stop gushing about that show? And the answer is yes, because the reason I didn't give Ted Lasso a 5 is because I felt like it had room to grow. This show is complete. It is a full thought. I've never once said this is It's a Sin season 1, because we're not getting a season 2. It's a done thing.
Yeah,
it's a mini series that's complete. And I think ultimately what it adds up to is so important that I'm going to give it 5 stars and give it the highest possible rating and try and implore everybody who listens to this podcast to watch it. Thanks for listening to our spoiler-free review of It's a Sin. If you'd like to hear our extended spoiler-free thoughts in our full It's a Sin episode, or to check out any of the other 150 seasons of television we reviewed, head to huntingseasonspodcast.com or find us on Acast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app by searching for Hunting Seasons, a TV podcast.
Good night, everybody!
Absolutely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.